TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Ray McGovern, Russiagate, The Absence of Evidence, Part 2 of 2. Ray McGovern served as a CIA analyst for 27 years, from the administration of John F. Kennedy to that of George H.W. Bush. His duties included sharing national intelligence estimates and preparing the president's daily brief to Ronald Reagan's security advisors from 1981 to 1985. After retiring, he became a trusted source of information on the falsified intelligence about weapons of mass destruction that was used to bring the U.S. into the disastrous war in Iraq. He co-founded an organization of alumni from the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the U.S. State Department's Intelligence Bureau, and the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA. They have the courage and expertise to analyze the so-called intelligence findings of the organizations they once served. Their name, VIPS, stands for Veterans Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and their members publish on up-to-date issues. Right after part one of this program, Ray McGovern, Russiagate, went out on January 8, 2019. There was a renewed effort by the New York Times and MSNBC to claim that Russian intelligence, or even Putin himself, intervened in the 2016 election. As this info spread through most of the media, TUC Radio got a little bit of a taste of kickback from Hillary supporters and people who so much want Trump to be gone that they don't feel like scrutinizing the evidence. The famous linguist, political analyst, and author Noam Chomsky is among the few who have investigated Russiagate. Here's a short clip from an interview by the Arizona blogger Primo Nutmeg, published on July 28, 2018.
I presume that Russia had an interest in the outcome of the election and probably tried to influence it. I don't consider that a major issue. For one thing, if you want to consider interventions in the elections, there are vastly greater ones. So, for example, it's well established by very solid empirical work by academic political scientists. Thomas Ferguson is the major one, that American elections are, in a certain sense, bought, in the sense that you can predict the outcome of an election with extreme precision simply by looking at the single variable of campaign funding. And in fact, Ferguson did a very close, careful analysis of the 2016 election, which verified this hypothesis in a way that most people aren't aware of. He looked closely at the way campaign funding worked, and it turned out in the last stages of the campaign, when the big investors and capitalist interests were beginning to be afraid that they didn't like Trump, but they were afraid that there might be a moderately liberal Democrat. They poured money in a very targeted way, not just to the president's, but to the Senate and House elections, and that led to a change which is reflected in the vote. That's real manipulation of elections, massive manipulation, if the Russians did something minor, maybe. Furthermore, manipulation of elections by external powers is pretty normal. The United States, in fact, is the champion in that regard. We not only intervene in elections, we overthrow governments if we don't like them. In fact, if you want to look at manipulation of elections recently, the most striking example, which to my knowledge has only been reported in the business press, Bloomberg Business Week, is the last German elections. Everyone was surprised by the rise in votes gained by the more or less neo-fascist party, Alternative for Deutschland. Turns out that there was a campaign organized by a Texas media company that works for Trump, Le Pen, Netanyahu, others. They collaborated with the Berlin Facebook office, which provided them with a detailed demographic analysis of voters in Germany. And they were able to micro-target election-based ads to these individuals in a way which seems to have had a fairly significant influence on the rise of the neo-fascist party. Mm. That's a detectable case. In fact, the U.S. not only intervenes, but in elections, let's say in Russia, for example, but is very proud of it. So Clinton massively intervened in the, I think it was 1996 elections, in which Yeltsin, his favorite, was elected, and it was considered a great triumph. It wasn't hidden. So maybe the Russians tried to do something. There's no indication that it had much effect, but doesn't seem to me a significant issue. I think it's picked up by the Democrats and by the liberal press, because they hate Trump, of course, and Democrats are seeking an excuse for why they lost an election, which should have been a open-shut affair if they'd had ran a decent campaign and had decent programs.
That was the iconic linguist, author, and political commentator Noam Chomsky. The full interview is on YouTube under the title Noam Chomsky on Russiagate. An important point made by Ray McGovern in part one of this program is his linguistic analysis of the, in his opinion, misnamed intelligence community assessment. He said in part one,
President Obama, in his last few weeks in office, this is 17 now, it's 2017, he was briefed by NSA, CIA, and the FBI that had done this very poor excuse for an intelligence assessment, adducing no real evidence, but saying that Putin himself had ordered the hacking of the DNC. Now, what's really interesting is that this document that everybody crows about, this intelligence community assessment, the only accurate word in those three words is assessment. Was it the intelligence community? No. Was it just three agencies of the intelligence community? No. What was it? It was hand-picked analysts from these three agencies, not the agencies themselves, hand-picked analysts. Who picked them? Who picked them? James Comey, for God's sake. Now, everyone knows in Washington that if you handpick the analysts, you handpick the conclusions, right? Okay. So there you had this document out that everyone is still crowing about. How can Trump stand next to Putin and not believe U.S. intelligence? You know, this is terrible, you know. Oh, U.S. intelligence is always correct, except for before Iraq, and except for a couple other things, all right? So this is necessary because on the 18th, so we're talking about the 5th of January, 2017, Obama's briefed on all this, okay? Now on the 18th, Obama gets up for his last press conference. And having read this and been briefed on this assessment that Putin himself directed that the DNC be hacked and the results be given to WikiLeaks, what does Obama say? He says, and I quote, "The conclusions of the intelligence community with respect to how Russian hacking got to WikiLeaks are inconclusive," period, end quote. Inconclusive conclusions. Wow. So why does Obama say that 2 days before he's going out of office? Because he's a lawyer. He wants to protect his dear derriere, you know?
That was Ray McGovern. Now you are about to hear arguments and evidence for law breaking of senior officials in intelligence organizations, such as the FBI and the Obama-era Department of Justice. McGovern states that instead of Russiagate, we ought to be talking about FBI-gate. Here's Ray McGovern, recorded on August 4, 2018, at the Common Good Cafe in Seattle, Washington. Thanks to Mike McCormick of KODXLP for the recording. Since August 2018, the roles of two people mentioned by McGovern have changed. Republican Devin Nunes was chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, a position that is now held by Democrat Adam Schiff. And you will hear from both of them.
I want to tell you that there are great advantages to live near Washington, and we've been there 55 years now. One advantage is that you get to go to meetings. You can even go to Hillary's and Podesta's old think tank, Center for American Progress or something like that. Okay, so that's what I do. I always go to those things, and if I can, if they'll recognize me, I raise my hand and ask a question. Well, we have queued up here a two-minute thing where I had already worn out my welcome the previous week, and so they wouldn't recognize me when I raised my hand. So I went up after Adam Schiff, Representative from California, who is the lead on all this Russiagate, and I didn't know the camera was on. And I just sort of asked him a question. And the whole deal was, he told me, well, he couldn't tell me the answer because it was classified, okay? And it's pretty telling. I was delighted to learn later that day that C-SPAN cameras were still on. They even got the voice to it. So let's see if it works.
Chief, my name is Ray McGovern. I served in CIA under 7 presidents and 9 directors.
Well, thank you very much.
We have a little alumni group called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. One of our members is the former technical director of NSA. I'm interested in, 1 week ago, when the president said this, I don't want to misquote him, the conclusions of the intelligence community with respect to Russian hacking were not conclusive regarding WikiLeaks. In other words, there's a big gap between alleged Russian hacking and WikiLeaks. The intelligence community does not know how or if that information, to the degree it exists, got to WikiLeaks. Now, you assert as flat fact that Russia did this. Do you know more than Obama?
Well, I would never claim to know more than Obama. I think he's a brilliant man.
It's a very serious question.
No, it's a serious question. I have every confidence in the intelligence of the Russian hacking of both the DNC as well as John Podesta.
James Clapper is a convicted.
You asked me a question. Do you want to
sure.
hear the answer?
I will.
While I can't go into the classified information, I have every confidence that the Russians used WikiLeaks. Whether Julian Assange was a knowing participant or, as the Russians would describe, a useful idiot, that we will hopefully find out. But I don't have any question in the conclusions that the intelligence.
You have every confidence, but no evidence. Is that right?
No, I can't share the evidence with you.
Yeah,
Congressman.
I'm Paul Joy,
former
Director
of Security Center Intelligence.
So he has every confidence, but no evidence, yeah. So nice to know that these politicians have 100% confidence in the intelligence community. I mean, I feel so safe. Now, I think while this is still working, I'm going to show you one other short clip. Just to introduce it, there's one congressman, his name is Devin Nunes. He comes from the Central Valley of California. Now, I have to tell you, that I know something about him because I met him about 9 or 10 years ago. He was the only congressperson, the only U.S. official that had the guts to give an award to one of the survivors of the USS Liberty. Now, I never thought that he'd reappear in this incarnation, the Intelligence Committee in the House.
and seem to be doing a job that is quite uncommon in Washington. See, the oversight committees have the idea that oversight is oversight, not oversight. So what Nunes is doing is holding people's feet to the fire. He had one interview with Cheryl Atkinson, who's a very good reporter, and I'm sure, you know, they rehearsed it. You ask me if these folks are guilty, these folks who thought Hillary was going to win and took great liberties with the law, ask me if they should be put on trial. Oh, wow. Now, I have never seen any House committee chairman, intelligence committee chairman, say that, you know, anybody who lied or did this kind of subterranean thing should be put on trial.
This is February 18th of 2018, and she asks him the question.
FBI on trial, and to put Special Counsel Bob Mueller's investigation on trial.
Yeah, well, FISA abuse has nothing to do with the Mueller investigation. As it relates to Department of Justice and the FBI, if they need to be put on trial, we will put them on trial. The reason that Congress exists is to oversee these agencies that we created. DOJ and FBI are not above the law. Congress created them, we oversee them, and we fund them. And if they're committing abuse for a secret court, getting warrants on American citizens, you're darn right that we're going to put them on trial.
Okay, I'm going to be quick in finishing up here. In December of 2017, Russiagate migrated into FBI Gate. The people that Nunes is referring to here are the heads of the FBI, the CIA, the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, a couple of her deputies, all of whom signed these FISA warrants based on information paid for by Hillary Clinton, and now we know also paid for by the FBI. My God. So, that's how serious it is. Well, how many people know about the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok text message exchanges? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, okay, so you need to know where to get information about these things. Okay, long story short, Peter Strzok and his paramour, Lisa Page. Peter Strzok was the second highest counterintelligence official in the FBI, and Lisa Page was a very highly paid attorney working for the deputy director of the FBI, McCabe. And they had this affair going where they exchanged several hundred messages a day. It's amazing, okay? And early on, Peter Strzok at one point says, Hillary should win 1,000,000 to nothing, right? And Lisa says, yes, she should win 1,000,000 to nothing. Next one, he says, congratulations on a woman running for president, high time. And she says, oh, that's so cute. These are direct things, okay? Now, she says early on, now, Peter, feel free to share our views about Trump and so forth, and our support for Hillary, because this can't be collected, right? This is secure, these FBI phones. I said, oh, no problem. Yeah, you're right. God, there's the deputy head of counterintelligence of the FBI doesn't realize that the NSA and everybody else can easily collect stuff from a bureau phone, right? Okay. So that's how it went. Now, what happened was, and this is really interesting, because the Inspector General of the Justice Department, which has purview over the FBI as well, the Inspector General does, have found these messages as a result of the Mueller investigation and all this kind of stuff, and they came out in the open in December 2017. We had them, all the things I just mentioned. But they didn't share these messages. Well, Lisa Page says, he's not going to win, is he? He's not going to win. And Peter said, no, he'll never win. We will stop it. Quote, we will stop it. The last thing I'll mention from this exchange is that after he supervised the investigation of Hillary Clinton and her emails, he was asked to join Mueller's operation and did join Mueller's operation. But in that interim period, he's talking with Lisa,
And Lisa says, are you gonna join the Mueller operation to get to the bottom of Russiagate? And he says, yeah, I don't wanna. I mean, there's no there. How many of you know that Peter Strzok said that? Three. You guys read the New York Times or the Seattle Times. You didn't know that Peter Strzok said that there's no there? You gotta read RayMcGovern.com. If you don't get it, you don't get it. Now, ConsortiumNews.com is another really, really good website that only three or four people knew about Peter Strzok saying there's no there. That's the message, folks. He knew. He had looked into all this stuff by this time, and he knew that there was no there. Wow. Well, let me finish up here. These telltale signs, the ostensible hack, which had this metadata attached to it, and had the Cyrillic, and had the name of the name and patronymic of Felix Emunovich, the first head of the Cheka, they call in those days, the KGB forerunner. Who else might have done that? Well, you know why they hate Julian Assange? Because you wouldn't know this if you read the New York Times, but on the 31st of March, he released documentation, authentic CIA memos and emails, showing that CIA had developed a cyber tool which allows the new CIA directorate. Now, when I say directorate, that means several thousand people, okay? There were only three directorates when I was there. Now there are four. Cyber warfare is the fourth, okay? Which allows the CIA to hack into a system or a computer or a server, disguise who hacked in, and leave telltale signs giving the responsibility to somebody else. Whoa. Immediately, the New York Times, as its wont these days, contacted the CIA or the White House, said, should we publish that? No, don't publish that. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Ellen Nakashima from the Washington Post didn't get the memo. She didn't get the memo, so she published a really good story, CIA secret capabilities to hack in, disclosed, okay? And she showed in her article that they work in five languages, right? Chinese, Korean, Persian, Arabic, and Russian. Cyrillic, okay? And she didn't indicate this, but the original information, which nobody disputes, this is direct from the CIA, okay? That it was used during 2016. Now, we make a real sharp distinction here, Bill Binney and I. What we said about forensics is science, right? It's physics, okay? We can prove it. Now, we can't prove that it was John Brennan. We can't prove that it was the CIA cyber hackers that hacked in and left these telltale signs, but we think it's a likely possibility, okay? And that's why you have them coming after Julian Assange full bore. 2 weeks after that revelation, Pompeo got up and he said, Julian Assange is a demon. I didn't used to believe in demons, you know, but he believes in demons, apparently. He's a demon, and he's running a non-state hostile intelligence service. Now, you know that Julian Assange has been held incommunicado since the late March. He's in bad health. They're out to get him. And they're out to get him because he has this way of getting authentic CIA documents. Again, nobody disputes the authenticity of this. Nobody knows about it, really, judging from the few people who knew about what they call Vault 7. It's marble framework. That's what they call this particular tool. So, you know, it's really pretty bad because what we have now is the deep state, and I use the term advisedly. There is a deep state, And when you look at the FBI, you look at the CIA, to a lesser extent the NSA, you look now at the Justice Department. They have a lot to protect themselves against because they thought Hillary's going to win. Comey has said that. And that explains, pure and simple, why they thought they could take extracurricular, extra legal measures to make sure she won and to make sure Trump lost, and after the election, to use this information to the degree they could to blacken Trump so he can't reach out to Russia. And that's another story. A lot of people think it makes good sense to have a decent relationship with Russia, but not what Pope Francis called the blood-soaked arms traders, okay? And that's a big, big lobby. What we have now is what Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. What we have now is the military-industrial congressional intelligence media complex. It all fits together, folks. And we don't know half of what's going on. Not even you, who are progressive and keep up on these things. Most of you didn't know about Marble Framework. And the likelihood, as Bill Binney and I see it, there was a CIA that hacked in on the 5th of July, 2016, and left these telltale signs. So it's pretty serious. Now, the question really, and I'll finish with this, is you saw Devin Nunes. He threw down the gauntlet, didn't he? He said, if they're guilty, they're going to go to trial. Whoa! This is big! Loretta Lynch going to jail? James Comey? Liar that he is? Bob Mueller? John Brennan? So what I'd like to just leave with you is the thought that unless we know about what's going on, these guys are going to prevail. They always do. So to the degree you become informed a little bit better and you find out what Nunes is really after, to get to the bottom of this, and the Democrats are trying to, I think in a quixotic way, trying to make a big deal out of this, because last thing I'll say, very last thing, is in the little brochure, I indicated, what is taking Bob Mueller so long? And the answer is, because there's no there there. Thank you very much.
You heard the conclusion of a two-part program with Ray McGovern on debunking Russiagate. He was recorded by Mike McCormick for KODX-LP on August 4, 2018 at the Common Good Cafe in Seattle, Washington. KODX posted the talk on YouTube, and you can see the one-hour film there and add to the over 120,000 views the film had already received by the time of this recording in early January 2019. And that includes more information that did not fit into the TUC radio airtime. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Glidden. Thank you for listening.